Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'll be traveling to Las Vegas for Operation Save America, Operation Rescue National's annual event led by the Reverend Flip Benham. Tomorrow, I'll be going to Vegas. We'll have some excellent programming here on Bob Enyart Live. Of course, the personhood efforts exploding all over the country, and that's part of this week's event in Las Vegas. Flip Benham is holding a personhood conference during his national OSA event, and Keith Mason, co-founder of Personhood USA, is organizing that, and it's going to be a thrill to be there. And then I will be attending the pastor's luncheon there on Saturday, and then, Lord willing, be back for church on Sunday at Denver Bible Church in Arvada. So, of course, you're invited to come on out Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30. It's interactive. If you've got questions about the Bible, about life, reality, come on out to Denver Bible Church. Then we have our service at 11. And Sunday night, our Bible studies were in the book of Job. We're up to Job chapter 32, and we're having a great time. We'll probably finish the book of Job by September, and then we'll be on to another Bible study. That's all at Denver Bible Church. And our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Well, Al Gore has declared that the Congressional Climate Bill will help bring about global governance. He was in Oxford a week ago, and this is really the goal of the environmental movement and the animal rights movement and the global warming contingent actually has goals of socialism and global governance. So as Rush Limbaugh has long pointed out, the radical environmental movement is the new home of the old left. The old leftists are radical environmentalists. So Al Gore was pretty much open, and he said that the bill passed by the House of Representatives 3 weeks ago is going to help bring about global governance. And he said in Oxford, "I bring you good news from the U.S. Just 2 weeks ago, the House of Representatives passed the Waxman-Markey climate bill. Now, I'm hoping the Senate will not pass it, and I'm also hoping that the health reform will fail. And I realize that the Democrats have majorities in the House and the Senate and the White House, and they seem to own the Supreme Court. I know that Republicans appointed the majority to the federal judiciary, but the federal judiciary is overwhelmingly pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-Christian, liberal. And so even though Republican presidents appointed the majority of the federal judiciary, we might as well acknowledge that it's the Democrats that have the federal judiciary. I was cracking up during the presidential campaign when they were talking about what will happen if Obama wins and if the Democrats get a supermajority in the Senate, or if they didn't quite have if the Republicans had enough senators, enough seats to stop something really terrible that Obama was doing, either a grossly pro-abortion, liberal, socialist Supreme Court nominee or some horrendous legislation, who were the Republican senators who would break ranks and join with the Democrats to pass Obama's agenda? And they said, well, really, the couple that we know for sure would, you know, from their entire career, who would break ranks with the conservatives, with Republicans, with pro-lifers, and join the Democrats and Obama, it'd be the Republican senator from Maine and the Republican senator from Arizona, John McCain. So John McCain was, you know, one of the Republican senators you could identify who would help Obama get his radical agenda into place. It's just so obvious. So now Republicans are all up in arms about Sonia Sotomayor. And it cracks me up because it was George W. Bush that plucked her from, you know, the myriads of attorneys to be a federal judge. That was a George Bush appointee. So she's a Republican appointee. And so now if Obama elevates her to the Supreme Court, what do we mark her in? What category? Do we put an R or a D after her name? What do we do? And the denial that so many Republican pro-lifers are in is just extreme. Just extreme, the denial. Like Jill Stanek, she's like the queen of denial. She's just the queen of denial. It cracks me up. And even Focus on the Family, when they look at George W. Bush and they proclaim what a hero he is, a pro-life hero, and he opposes abortion bans. He opposes abortion bans if they have exceptions. He, by his own policy, advocated killing 801,000 children while he was in office, while he was in the White House. He appointed dozens of pro-abortion judges. He's proud of the pro-abortion judges he appointed. He destroyed the Texas courts by appointing liberals and pro-aborts and pro-homosexual appellate court judges. He said his goal was not to overturn Roe v. Wade, and he kept that. That was his first campaign promise. And, yeah, he did advocate the partial birth abortion ban, but as was it Bill Frist who made so clear in the Senate that this doesn't stop abortion, this only regulates a certain procedure, and that's it. And we have no goal of trying to stop abortion. We're just regulating this because it doesn't look good. And Bush signed that, but after hundreds of laws passed by National Right to Life and Americans United for Life and all that, all these years, after all that, not one child has the right to life. Not one unborn child has the right to life in America. Not one. Everyone could be killed. Just like Roe v. Wade regulated how and when an abortionist could kill an innocent child, that's what all our so-called pro-life legislation has done for 30 years. We've just regulated. They're just variations on Roe v. Wade, regulating how, when, where it is legal for an abortionist to kill a child. So the federal judiciary is a disaster, and the radical environmental movement is simply the home of the old left, and we have Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Republicans are opposing her because she's what? She's a Republican nominee. And when a Republican nominates her, it's okay. But if a Democrat nominates her, then there's a war. And so the Republicans would have objected if Obama had nominated Samuel Alito. They would have been up in arms. They would have then looked at his pro-abortion record and they would have said, look, he's a pro-abort. Just go to AmericanRightToLife.org, click on Samuel Alito in the right column, and you'll see his radical pro-abortion record. So it's as though we're living in the Twilight Zone, only the Twilight Zone was a lot more understandable and rational and even biblical than this crazy world we live in. So even in the midst of all this wickedness and with the Democrats owning everything, like the Republicans owned everything and accomplished nothing, you remember that? I remember that. Oh, yeah, they accomplished very particular acts of great wickedness. But even with the Democrats owning the Senate and owning the House and owning the White House and owning the federal judiciary, I still have hope that the Senate will not pass the global warming charade and that we will not get this health care reform that the Democrats are proposing. But the scary thing is the Republicans want to do similar. They just, was it Bob Dole who said it famously years ago? Was it Bob Dole? Bob Dole always speaking of himself in the third person, or was it Orrin Hatch from Utah? One of them. I've been convinced for years they're the same person, same person. I've never seen them in the same place at the same time. But Senator Orrin Dole or Bob Hatch or whoever it was said the Democrats are headed for the cliff at 100 miles an hour, and we Republicans, we're just saying slow down a little bit. That is so absolutely accurate as an assessment of what's wrong with the Republican Party. It's not based on principles. It's based on getting power and influence and winning elections. And sadly, our Christian leaders are right there with the same error, the same lust for power and influence and money. And so if that's your goal, if your goal is to win elections, then forget everything else. Because if that is your goal, then you will sacrifice every principle, every bit of right and wrong in order to win an election. Because you hate Obama more than you love fill in the blank. More than you love the innocent. More than you love the Iraqi people. More than you love just fill in the blank. And so here we have Al Gore in Oxford saying that the good news from America, this climate bill that the House of Representatives passed, is going to help bring about global governance. And then Obama attended the G8, and this line cracks me up. This is at climatedepot.com. This is how they assessed it. Obama attended the G8 summit where he agreed to attempt to keep the Earth's temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees centigrade. So Obama is going to try to keep the Earth's temperature down. I'm thinking, what is he going to do? Is he going to exercise less? Is he going to exhale less? Is he going to fly around the globe less in Air Force One? What is he going to do to keep the temperature down? Is he going to try to paint the ground black to absorb the sun's rays better? What is he going to do? And I remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying, don't worry about your life. Remember that? Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Remember the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, and I know it's Jesus because it's in red letters. Here it is. The Lord said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Public school teachers tuning in right now, a cubit is a measurement of length. And stature is a reference to a person's height in this context here. And so the Lord is saying, if you worry, can you make yourself taller? Remember what God said in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, cold and heat, winter and summer shall not cease. Remember that? Genesis 8:22. So the Lord said, look, we're going to have winter and summer while the earth remains. Until the end of this phase of human history, when the Lord returns after the millennium, the second coming, the millennium, the great white throne judgment, to the destruction of the heavens and the earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. From now until the end of this earth, winter and summer shall not cease. And Jesus said, Barack, do you think by worrying you can make yourself taller? Right? And Obama should know. He attended a Christian church for how many years? 20 years? He should know that Jesus said, by worrying, you can't add one cubit to your height. And Obama says he's going to keep the temperature of the earth from rising more than 2 degrees centigrade. That just cracks me up. It absolutely cracks me up. And we look in history and we see dramatic swings in the climate on the earth. I mean, there was an ice age in the recent past. You get a frozen woolly mammoth, and as an expedition is there digging it up and it's thawing out, and the dogs from the dog sled will start to eat the meat on the woolly mammoth if they don't keep the dogs away. So we had an ice age in the recent past. In fact, we have dinosaur fossils, not even in ice, but a Tyrannosaurus rex with soft tissue. We have a duck-billed dinosaur fossil with soft tissue. And at Harvard, they're sequencing the protein molecules from dinosaurs. It's just hysterical. And so in the recent past, we've had ice ages, and then the ice age, one ice age. We had an ice age, and then the ice melted all over the world. What did it melt from? Did it melt from too much congestion, too much traffic in our major cities? Is that what the ice melted from? So we have a cycle of climate, and Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't it true when God makes something beautiful versus when men make something beautiful? In Colorado, our ski resorts, if there's not enough snow, they make snow. That's cool, right? We can make ice. We figured out refrigeration. And I know in Europe, for decades, Americans were considered, you know, the ugly American. Why would American travelers, tourists in Europe, why would they be so rude? They go to a restaurant and they'd ask for ice water, and they'd get a cup of water with no ice. And they'd say, well, I asked for ice water. Can I get ice water? Can I get ice? It's hot. I'm thirsty. Our number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 836-9278. And the waiter would take the glass back in the kitchen and come out with a glass of water with one small ice cube in it. And the American would say, no, I'm confused. Look, forget the ice water. Leave this glass and give me another glass full of ice, or give me a bowl full of ice cubes. And Americans got such a bad reputation as being rude tourists because we were completely oblivious to the fact that they couldn't afford ice cubes. They didn't have ice cubes in most of Europe. Until recently, they couldn't afford it. And in Italy, the guy who knew the formula died, and so they were messed up for a while. I could say that because I'm half Italian. And so we get the bad rap for being rude because we think that our prosperity is at least generally replicated around the country, and at least you could get a glass of cold water. But you couldn't. You couldn't. And so we make snow on our ski slopes, and God makes it snow, right? And have you gone on Google and searched for snowflakes or Google images and look, show your kids the pictures of snowflakes and how extraordinary and beautiful they are? I mean, stunningly beautiful. Just the snowflake, and trillions of snowflakes fall on the earth. Trillions. Every day, snowflakes fall by the billions, and they're all beautiful. And then look at a microscopic photograph of man-made snow. Look at that. And it looks like a nightmare. I mean, man-made snow looks like a pile of garbage compared to the snowflakes that God made. And so Jesus says, look, not even Solomon in all his glory could be arrayed like a simple lily in a field. Let's go to the phones in Thornton, Colorado. Mark, welcome to Bob and You're Live.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing great, sir. What's up?
So I was just listening to you a little bit on global warming back there.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people say it's the cars running around making the global warming and destroying the ozone. Did you know that volcanoes do more damage than a million cars running a day?
Volcanoes. Now, volcanoes release a tremendous amount of chemicals and gas. And I think you got a good point there, Mark. I think you have an excellent point. And I think volcanoes have probably put more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere just in the recent past than all of human activity.
That's exactly what I was getting at.
Yeah, what a good point. Hey, all right, thanks for adding that. I appreciate that.
Not a problem, Bob. I just wanted to call and say hi, too. I haven't talked to you in a while.
All right, who is this? Mark from Thornton.
Mark Geiser.
Mark Geiser. Mark, how long has it been since we have, here at Bob and Yurt Live, since we've seen you? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Now, wait a minute. My memory's coming back. Is this the Mark Geiser who helped us with our protest regarding that Matthew Shepard murder and the execution of his murderers?
It is.
It is. Hey, Mark, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, nice to hear you, too.
All right. May God bless you. Appreciate you, Mark. Too. Mark from Thornton calling in. Yeah, we did a protest in Wyoming where the trial was. Remember that homosexual Matthew Shepard was murdered, and his murderers were on trial, and we called for the death penalty to be brought to bear on those convicted of his murder. But of course it wasn't, but it should have been. Yeah, volcanoes have pumped an enormous quantity of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. And so Jesus says, look, you think by worrying you could make yourself taller? And here we have Barack Obama telling the G8 summit that he's agreeing to attempt to keep the Earth's temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees centigrade. And that just cracks me up. So the Lord said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Remember when Jesus was saying to the crowd, look, if you ask God for wisdom, if you ask God, he will give you good things. And he compared it to the way earthly parents give gifts to their kids. And he looks at the crowd, he looks out to them, and he says, you all are evil. And you being evil, still, when your kids ask you for things, you give them good gifts. If they ask you for a fish, you don't give them a scorpion. How much more will your Father in heaven, who is righteous, if you're evil and you give, and that's the Lord was so direct. The Lord is the rock, you know, the rock of offense. And he said, whoever allows himself to be broken will be saved. But on whomever the rock falls, it will grind him into powder. That's what Jesus said. Pretty cool. The Lord told the parable, and he said in it, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. So people use the environmental movement, animal rights, dirt worshipers, earth worshipers, Gaia worshipers, people who advocate killing unborn children but protect unborn fetal pigs or whatever. They take up these causes because they're in rebellion against God. They are in the foxhole, manning their position in the long war against God. So Jesus said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, you see, the Lord was ministering to the Jews in the four Gospels. Now, if you've never noticed that, please do yourself a favor and reread the Gospels. And in the book of Acts, see that there's a turning from the Jews exclusively to the Jews and Gentiles together. And when that transition occurred, some of the rules changed. In other words, in the Bible, God's covenant of circumcision for Israel was that you had to be circumcised. And the Apostle Paul, God gave to the Apostle Paul the dispensation of grace for us Gentiles, for the body of Christ, in which there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, and so there is no circumcision because that was just for boys. And the Apostle Paul says that some keep one day, observe the Sabbath, others every day. And we do not need to observe the dietary law or circumcision, and on and on. And so Jesus said, look, the Gentiles, they worry about these things. Now, does that mean, was he talking to Gentiles or Jews? He was talking to the Jews. He said, for all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if we want to change the law, and we want to protect innocent children from being slaughtered by Planned Parenthood, what do we seek first? We seek first partisan politics? We seek first the ways of the world? Well, we want to achieve something important. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we learn to honor God first. We trust God. And as liberals are dirt worshipers and defending the rights of animals, we're eating animals and worshiping God and advocating what is right. Our website is kgov.com. Have a great week, and I'll be back Monday, Lord willing. Maranatha, what a great school.